This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to the Casting Across Fly Fishing Podcast. I'm Matthew of castingacross.com, where I explore the quarry and culture of fly fishing. Well, it's episode 121, and I'm finally doing it. I'm wading into the treacherous waters of one of the most argued debates in all of fly fishing. You've heard it at fly shops, you've seen it on YouTube videos, other podcasts, and articles online. It is the age-old question, what is the quintessential fly rod? The 5-weight or the 6-weight? Now, let me cut off a few immediate objections that you may have. You may say, I fish for tiny trout on tiny streams, so a 3-weight is my quintessential fly rod. Okay, that's fine. Or you say, I fish a big river or a big lake out west, and I need a big rod that I can throw heavy lines and heavy streamers, so my quintessential trout rod is a 7-weight. That is fine. What I am talking about is that mean, that median, that center point of most fly fishers in our country who fish for trout. And sales numbers show this, and simply experience shows this, that it's a fine line in between people going in the 5-weight direction and people going in the 6-weight direction. And both exist, though, because there are needs and there's nuances and there's situations where one might excel better than the other. And this is reflected in the fact that virtually every manufacturer and every fly rod line that they make, if they're making it in this weight range, has a 5 and a 6, and those are both always included. They might not have a 3, they might not have a 7, but they always have a 5 and a 6. So this is a conversation worth having. Now, a couple other caveats. You might end up in a different place than me. And that's fine. I mean, this isn't gospel. This isn't some sort of objective truth. But the categories I'm going to walk through, just looking real quick, I'm thinking like 5 or 6 different things. I think these are categories that you should think through if you are looking to make a decision one way or another on a 5-weight or a 6-weight. Now, and full disclosure, I have multiple 5-weights and I have multiple 6-weights. But there's plenty of times where I'm traveling and I don't have the luxury of bringing multiple rods, and I have to make this decision even if I'm going to be encountering a variety of angling circumstances. And I'll talk about that and kind of my example rod here in a little bit. But people buy both. But the question is, and this is especially pertinent for new anglers. If you are getting into this and you have your, you know, inexpensive fly rod that you picked up at Walmart or Dick's Sporting Goods, or you've been borrowing one from somebody, and you want to find a rod that's a good all-around fly fishing rod, this is a conversation for you and something for you to think through. But at the same time, if you are maybe making that step into buying a premium rod, you want to spend that $700, $800, $900 on an excellent fly rod, and some of them are simply fantastic. You know, this is where you really want to figure out, you know, in all these categories, I think I want to go towards 5, or I want to go towards 6. And I'm going to give you my answer of what I think the quintessential all-around fly rod is. But like I said, I want you to think through these categories for your needs, for the situations that you are going to be encountering, and for really your preferences, and make the decision yourself. And of course, it's all about your casting stroke too. You know, your hand, your arm, your body, and your the way you interact with the fly rod is going to have a significant impact on the decision you make. And we always have to remember that. Always cast a fly rod before you buy it. And I would say if you are on that fence between a 5 and a 6, cast them both, maybe with a couple of different lines. But anyway, there's lots of podcasts in my back catalog about testing out fly rods. So let's really stay focused in on this question 5 and 6. So here's my answer, 6 weight. My answer is a 6 weight. And let me tell you why that is. I think with a good 6 weight, you can do more because you have more. You can do more because you have more. What do you have more of? Well, you have a little bit more strength. You have a little bit of a more bold taper. And you have a little bit more backbone in that fly rod. Now, so here's the caveat though. It cannot be an incredibly fast 6 weight. You really lose out on the benefits of having a versatile quintessential fly rod if your 6 weight is too fast. And I guess you could make the argument if I were to, you know, fall on this in a different way, which I've been pretty settled on this answer for a long time. But if somebody were to be a strong, staunch proponent of a 5 weight being the quintessential trout fly rod, then they would have to say, well, it can't be too soft. It can't be a medium to full flex 5 weight. And that's why I would say on where I land, that the 6 weight cannot be too stiff. You lose out on that versatility if it's a very, very stiff 6 weight. A very stiff 6 weight has a lot of benefits, and there's a lot of great uses for it. But I want to make that clear that you can't just go out and buy any 6 weight and it be a versatile fly rod. So I would say, again, a contemporary 6 weight with contemporary technology, which is going to be very light in your hand. My goodness, a 6 weight today versus a 6 weight 25 years ago, if you've been fishing kind of consistently from that point to today, you might not notice that much of a difference, but it is really impressive where the technology has brought us, how light in hand a 6 weight feels. I have some old 6 weights in my office that I have for decorations, and I have a couple of old ones that I fish, and you know, they're between 30 and 50 years old, and they are heavy. I mean, again, they're still like a 2.5 or 3 ounce fly rod, but they feel heavy in hand. So contemporary technology with a medium fast action gives you a lot. And some folks label their fast rods as medium fast, and then they label their fast rods as ultra fast. But a true medium fast action that is going to have a nice moderate stroke, that's what we're looking for. What does that give you? Well, it gives you a couple of things. Because it's a 6 weight, you have the ability to cast slightly heavier stuff. Well, why stuff? Well, because you can cast slightly heavier flies. With a rod that has a backbone that is going to give you a little bit more power, and it is going to have that strong butt section that flexes up into the middle, you're going to be able to cast heavier lines. You're going to cast things with aggressive tapers, and this gives you the opportunity to cast a line that is going to give you great distance. It's also going to give you the chance to cast a line that is going to be able to turn over a streamer that might be slightly larger than you would otherwise be able to turn over with a traditional tapered line on that 6 weight. Does that make sense? One more time. Having something that has a little bit more strength up into the midsection of the rod is going to allow you to turn over a fly line that is going to assist in turning over and presenting a little bit heavier of a fly. So if you were to use a normal tapered fly line on that very same rod, it might not have enough oomph to push over a trout-sized articulated streamer or something with some dumbbell eyes. But the combination of a moderate fast medium fast action rod and a line suited for bigger flies, you're going to be able to do a little bit more than you would normally be able to do. And similarly, you'll be able to turn over some weighted lines. I have some great weighted lines that I pair with my 6 weights, and they aren't the same as casting just a normal weight forward trout taper, but you're able to cast them and it's not comical. It's not like trying to throw a weighted line on a two weight or something like that. You're able to make those casts with a real deliberate motion, and it's not in a way that's a nuisance over the course of a day. So a medium fast taper six weight allows you to turn over some of those heavier lines and some of those more aggressive lines, but they also allows you to turn over the heavier flies. So this is bigger streamers, and now they're modified streamers. They're not going to be those giant, you know, 2-aught articulated numbers, but they're going to be streamers, and you're, you know, maybe even up to like size 2. But certainly all of those 4s and 6s, even if they have a lot of materials, even if they do have a sculpin head or some dumbbell eyes or some significant wire wrapping around the shanks of the hooks, you'll be able to make those casts. Now, you can't cast them like you would a size, you know, 14 dry fly, but with a very deliberate stroke and applying pressure in the right places, which comes with being an experienced caster, even just with that particular fly rod, you're going to be able to do that no problem. But it isn't just that crazy streamer game we're talking about. We're also able to cast nymph rigs with a little bit more efficiency. So this is maybe two weighted flies, maybe two flies along with some weight crimped on to the leader. And that's going to be something where you're not just going to be lobbing it, but you're going to actually be casting it. And I know there's a fine line there to actually make a real deal cast with a leader that has three or four things that can get tangled on each other, but you're able to make better casts, or even with just a little bit of weight on there, with a heavier rod. And the last thing I would add to the slightly heavier stuff is that you can throw poppers. So a six weight with a little bit of strength in it, medium fast action, is going to allow you to fish some pretty good size bass flies. Now, they're not going to be these giant foam poppers. They're also not going to be big deer hair divers, but as far as getting the size of streamers and bass poppers and sliders out there to really be able to contend with some very, very good fish, a medium fast six weight is going to allow you to do that. So that diversifies your fishing in that way also. I know we're moving out of the trout game, but if you're going to buy a really nice rod, then it'd be awesome to have something that you're able to use in a different situation, a different circumstance. So that's the first thing. It's also going to give you the backbone to fight bigger fish. Now, this is one of those deals where, honestly, you know, I'm a proponent, if you know how to fight fish, it doesn't matter what rod you have. Now, there are some things that are pretty stupid and you shouldn't do, and they're going to be dangerous to the fish, and you may very well damage your reel or damage your rod or damage, certainly lose flies and lose fish, but you know, I think that 4, 5, 6 weight, as long as you know how to fight fish, you're going to be able to do it well. But if you have that hesitation about fighting bigger fish on a lighter rod, a good 6 weight, you're not going to have that problem. You're going to be able to get into the biggest trout and most warm water species that you can get into, and you're going to be just fine. I mean, big carp, you're going to be able to handle them without a problem. But certainly, you know, 20, 24 inch trout, if you know how to fight a fish, a 6 weight is going to have enough backbone to do that, and to be able to do that where you can have some confidence about your tackle, but also that you're playing those fish well enough that they're not going to be fatigued and worn out and all that. At the same time, I've been talking about all the great things that having a heavier rod can do, but having a 6 weight that still is that medium fast action, that's contemporary technology, which maintains usually a lot of sensitivity and some delicacy in the tip, what that's going to allow you to do is make those fine presentations, which you want. I mean, I'm thinking about some of the rivers that I fished in, like the TVA Dam river. So in Arkansas, for example, you can be fishing a really deep run where you need that weighted line and you need that big streamer or that big nymph to get down deep fast. And you want to make that cast because it's a big river, the water's moving faster, and you want to be able to throw out, you know, 40 or 50 feet of heavy line and heavy fly. But then, whether it's necessitated because you haven't been catching anything down there or simply it tickles your fancy to tie on a little midge, you want to be able to quickly change out maybe just your fly or maybe your spool or reel and throw 50, 60 feet of a midge or a tiny blooming olive or something like that. And having a 6 weight that has a delicate tip, that has some finesse in it, which again, so many do these days, you're able to make those fine presentations of dry flies under virtually every circumstance with the exception of hoppers and some other terrestrials, as well as making fine presentations to spooky fish. you don't want that rod to be so fast and so aggressive that it's difficult or cumbersome to make a cast where you can lay it down with a gentle presentation. Your line's not slapping the water. So there's enough delicacy for that. And then kind of on the other side of what I was talking about with fighting fish, I've heard so many people say, well, I don't want this heavy rod because I'm not going to be able to feel the fish. Okay, I get that. It's not as much fun to catch a 5-inch brook trout with a 9-foot 6-weight. At the same time, if you're mostly targeting 4-inch brook trout, then this conversation is not for you. If you just happen to catch 4-inch brook trout on the big rivers, well, first of all, congratulations that you're fishing a big enough river that has probably a natural reproducing population of brook trout in it. But secondly, for those 8 to 10-inch fish, what you're feeling as you're fighting that trout is not going to be a significant downgrade in from an experience perspective that you would be feeling if you were fishing that 9-foot 5-weight. It's negligible. If you're used to fishing that 4-weight and feeling the throb of that 6 or 8-inch fish, and you switch to a little bit of a faster 6-weight, yes, you are going to experience a little bit of a different, you know, kind of sensation. But at the end of the day, if you're breaking it down between a 5 and a 6, it's not that big of a deal. Don't let that fool you. And if you're fishing, again, contemporary technology, medium fast rod, not necessarily a super fast rod, then those fish are still going to put up a fight, especially if you're in a decent sized river and they're not, you know, they have some place to run. If anything, it's better for the fish that you're able to get them in a little bit quicker. So there's enough delicacy for not just fine presentations, but for feeling even modestly sized fish. All right. The last things I'd say is that it gives you flexibility. With a medium fast action 6-weight, you have the ability to fish all of your traditional trout fishing. So you are fishing dry flies, you are fishing hopper dropper, you are fishing conventional nymph rigs, you are also fishing small streamers, and doing this all on floating line, whether it be a traditional trout taper or something a little bit different for distance or maybe even a little bit of a heavier fly. You're able to do all of those things, all the normal trout stuff that the vast majority of folks fish. You can do that with this rod. And if anything, you're going to be able to do it a little bit better with a 6 than a 5 because you have a little bit more power in your cast. Now, what you can also do with the 6-weight in a little bit more of efficient manner than you could if you were to even get a faster 5-weight is that you can fish dialed back modern streamers. And again, this is not my bread and butter. I do it when I have to do it. It's just not my preferred way to fish for trout. But if you want to fish those longer articulated or weighted or just bulky, bushy streamers, because it is a great way to catch big fish, but of course you can catch big fish on midges, but that's for another conversation. If you want to fish that way, but you also want a rod that you can tie on a more traditionally sized streamer or switch over to a dry fly right away, you're able to do that with a medium fast action 6-weight. It's going to be much, much harder on a medium fast action 5-weight. And again, as you go up, the efficiency in which you fish a streamer is going to get easier. But if we're talking about all around quintessential, then you're able to do it with some reason with a good 6-weight. Similarly, as long as the rod's 9-foot, which I would, you know, say that 9-foot fly rod is the way to go because it gives you that casting distance, it gives you the fulcrum for fighting the fish, and it gives you the ability to mend well, then you're able to do some kind of modified Euro nymphing. So just like you're not going to be able to throw streamers like you would if you had a 7-weight, you're not going to be able to fish Euro nymph rigs, tight line nymphing in the same way that you would if you had an 11-foot rod. But you're able to extend that arm, elevate that arm, and maintain a good drift, and you still have enough power in the butt section to flip over maybe a 2-fly rig with some weight or an indicator on it. You're able to do it. It's not perfect, but you can do it. But again, you know, if you really want to dial in Euro nymphing, then get a Euro nymphing rod. If you really want to dial in, contemporary streamer fishing, then get a 7 or an 8-weight, and it is what it is. And then, as I said before, this does give you the opportunity to go up into warm water. You can fish for bass, you can fish for panfish, you can fish for, smaller pike and another 2-3 fish like that. You can fish for carp. Having a 6-weight that can throw those bigger, heavier flies is going to give you opportunities to fish in that manner, again, with a few modifications, but it's not something that you're going to be able to do as easily as you step down in those weight categories. So, that's a lot of information. I'm talking pretty fast today. If you usually listen to me on 1.5 speed, then you might need to dial that back to 1.25. But again, those are all categories that I would like you to think through as you are looking to invest in your first rod, looking to invest in your second rod, or looking to invest in that like premier fly rod. I have had so many conversations back when I worked in a fly shop, even just in conversation these days through Casting Across. Should I go 5 or go 6? These are some of my thoughts. I've expressed them in various ways over the years, but here's kind of a concise picture of what I think about the 5 versus 6 debate. Now, my fly rod that I feel like fits this niche is my Sage VPS and a 9'6" weight. And this was a graphite 3 rod. This was, I actually did a throwback review on this on the website relatively recently, but this was the Sage taper. Like when you think of Sage in the 90s, this was that rod. This was just the after the generations kind of passed, this was that same technology, that same blank with lower quality components on it. And it's just a beauty to cast. And I can remember the first time I fished it, switching from a like size 2 conehead olive woolly bugger to like a little size 16 blueing olive, and just being so impressed with the versatility of this fly rod. And it's still one of the ones that I use today. If I feel like I'm going to be put in a situation where I am going to be primarily fishing dry flies and small nymphs, but I might need to throw a little bit of a heavier nymph rig or a streamer, I'll bring this rod immediately without even thinking about dropping down to like my 8.5-foot 5-weight. I have a couple of 5-weights that I just absolutely love, but if I am limited, then I think this is the way to go. Now, if you completely disagree with me, please don't reach out. No, I'm just kidding. Let me know. I know this might be a stereotype, but I would say that East Coast anglers probably err towards a 5 and Western folks kind of lean towards a 6. But just that's just a general observation. But again, you can't go wrong and you can always figure it out. That's one of the great things about fly fishing. You can make do so easily. And again, a lot of the minutiae, it's just fun. I know some people, it drives them crazy, but I think it's a lot of fun to think about these things. And especially if you're going to make a big purchase or you're advising somebody, it's not life or death, but it's worth thinking through the variables. All right, there you go. 5-weight versus 6-weight. Debate has been settled. This week on Casting Across, first article is called Grabbing the Right Forceps for Fly Fishing. Talk about minutiae. But you know, you want a good pair of forceps. So I talk about what I look for in a pair of forceps. And what I settled on, you can read about in Grabbing the Right Forceps for Fly Fishing. And the crux of this article is the same thing. Like, you can get a decent pair of forceps for $5, and they're going to last you for a while. But for maybe $5 or $10 more, you can get some that have a couple of features, and they are going to be put together very well. So definitely worth it, in my mind, to just find the right forceps for your clipping on your vest or on your pack, because they can do a whole lot more than just crimp barbs and pull hooks out of fish mouths. And then the Wednesday article was called Getting the Value Out of Your New Fly Rod. Now, this is humor. It was an attempt at humor, let's put it that way. But a lot of people read it in the last couple of days. So hopefully they found it entertaining and they didn't think it was serious. But it just goes through kind of the things that you do with your fly rod even before you catch a fish and how satisfying all those things are. I think we've all bought a fly rod, brought it home, assembled it, and wiggled it in our living room. Now, can you assign a dollar value to that? Probably not. But in this article, I did. So check that out if you are at all interested. All right, so this week's recommendation on the podcast is a book. Hopefully you are reading about fly fishing, not just listening to me talk about fly fishing. But this book is called Fishing a Highland Stream, and this is by a gent named John Inglis Hall. John Inglis, not Ingles, but John Inglis Hall. And this book was actually a cool little story about how I came across it. I was on my way into Boston to get on a flight, and my flight was delayed. And so I thought, well, instead of sitting in the airport like a chump, I'm going to go into the city and just get some food and go to a used bookstore that I like. So I went into the used bookstore, and there was all of the usual suspects of a trout fishing bookshelf. And then I saw this little book called Fishing a Highland Stream, and picked it up. It was a hardback, cool little dust jacket, flipped through a couple pages, and thought, you know what, for $10, whatever, I'll take this on the flight. I loved it. It was a great little book. It has probably one of my favorite things about fly fishing literature is that I think people understand that to really get somebody to buy into a book about them fishing as opposed to the reader fishing. So, you know, I want to know about me fishing, to be honest with you. I want to think more about me fishing. But for somebody to tell you about them fishing, they really have to sell you on a sense of place. The German critical scholars called it the Sitz im Leben, the sense of place. So in reading this book, I got to know the River Trim, which I'm probably not pronouncing properly, in the Scottish Highlands. I got to know about the little village, the little pubs, the little inns that this angler fished out of. It's just a pleasurable little read. I don't think it's in print at present, but today I hopped on Amazon. You can get a hard copy for like $23 or $24. And I would definitely check that out. And you know what? If you buy a used book, you never know what you're going to find. Someone's business card's going to be in there. Some notes are in there. It's just a lot of fun. So check out Fishing a Highland Stream. I'll put a link to that book's listing on Amazon on the podcast page on castingacross.com. And real quick, last note before I sign off, just a real appreciative of the listenership. How many folks tuned in for last week's podcast? I talked about some stuff that's a little different, but at the same time, just some great, great feedback and some great numbers, whatever that's worth. And so I do appreciate it. Again, I do this a lot for me, but also a lot for you. And so knowing that you're listening and that folks leave reviews and that I get emails, that's just fantastic. So again, I'm not an expert on fly fishing literature or forceps or 6 weights versus 5 weights, but I appreciate you taking what I say and doing something with it. It really does mean a lot. So thanks for listening to the Casting Across Fly Fishing Podcast. Please subscribe in your favorite podcast app and rate the podcast in iTunes. Then head over to castingacross.com where you'll find more info on this podcast and 3 posts a week on the people, places, and things that go into the pursuit of fish.